Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Science of Yes with your hostess, Pam Heath, the Yes Coach. Each week, Pam will speak about the energy of yes and how you can use it to create an extraordinary, prosperous life that you will absolutely love. Pam has spent a lifetime building and leading transformational programs and is passionate about making abundance available for everyone who yes. Callers are welcome, and we invite you to like Pam's show before leaving the program. So open your heart, open your mind, and be ready to receive what is possible from your friend, the Yes Coach.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, and I'm your hostess. This is the Science of Yes, and every week we examine what it is to live your life inside of yes and cause and produce the most amazing results in your life from the energy of yes. So before I go on to introduce my very special guest tonight, I just want to explain for the people who might be tuning in for the first time why it is that I have at the beginning of my show that really lively song that you might recognize as Robin Williams singing from the animated motion picture Aladdin. Well, I love that song, and I use that song a lot in my analogies when I'm coaching my clients on being a yes. For me, that song, which is when Aladdin first rubs the lamp and the genie comes out and he introduces himself and he lets him know, you ain't never had a friend like me. And he lets him also know that he can have anything he wants. All he has to do is ask. So my coaching for all my clients when I'm training them in the world of yes is that the universe is your restaurant. And you have a maitre d' that is just waiting for you to put in your order to have anything you want in life. Anything you want is available when you say yes. So on that note, I have a very, very special guest tonight that we are going to have a conversation with. And he lives in the audacity of yes, because who he is Patrick Wu. Patrick is the author of an extraordinary book that every single male, and I mean available male, so all you married guys, sit down, should have this book. It's called The Art of Wooing, The 9 Ways of a Super Charmer. Now, who is Patrick and what is this book about? Well, I'm going to let him tell you that because I want you to know that as a woman and a single available woman, I am absolutely thrilled that there's somebody out there teaching the men how to go about it. So, Patrick, welcome to the Science of Yes. Thank you so much for being on the show. And tell us a little bit about yourself so we can understand what this is, this art of wooing.
Yeah, well, hello, Pam, and welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for your introduction. It was absolutely lovely. And, well, my name is Patrick Wu, and I am the charm coach for wooers. And I created this, and I wrote this book called The Art of Wooing, because I first heard from a lot of women in the past, and they would often say, give this advice to men, which was, just be yourself, be confident. And I've noticed that on two spectrums, that is the best advice, and that's also the worst advice. And as I went through this kind of journey, my own personal journey of discovering what is actually useful, what isn't useful, I did come to the fact that, yeah, that is all you have to do, which is be confident and be comfortable. But in the book, I actually describe why it works so well and actually how to do it, first of all. So that was kind of the reason, or that's kind of the reason for me to tell you a little about my book. And also, I can talk about my book a little bit more, you know, throughout the episode as well.
You know, it's interesting, Patrick. Yeah. I want to stop you for a second because the thing I find so delightful is that you actually, it's not just that you learned how to charm women, but you set out to teach all men how to charm women. What had you make that decision to write this book?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of authors who wrote their books, I think they all had some kind of insight at some point where they were just at the absolute worst part of their point of their life, you know, in a particular area. And then after a point of complete struggle and doing pretty much anything in desperation to learn something to get out of that pain, you end up coming out of it thinking, wow, how did I come out of that? Like, I was struggling a lot with this topic because I was definitely not a charming guy. I was definitely someone who had zero in my life. In fact, I only had two phone numbers in my life that were women, and that was my sister and my mom. So I ended up going through this really long journey of trying just about everything. And then after coming out of that tunnel, and till this day, I'm still learning how to be, you know, an attractive man, be a powerful man, to help others. And I'm still along the way too, but I've just been buried in this journey for a little longer than some other men.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you've discovered this incredible way to charm women, to go about wooing women, which I say, and I'm sure other people would agree with me, is a lost art. How's that going for you, by the way?
Yeah, I was hoping that you were going to ask that question. Well, right now I am dating this one woman, and I really, really enjoy her. And these days, I think that when I look back at my journey, I'm like, how did that happen? Like, you know, if I look back even a decade ago, I didn't have even one friend that was a girl. I just didn't know how to do it, and I realized over my journey, you know, a lot of it is not even about me wooing women. A lot of it is just me being really okay with myself. That's pretty much what I thought that it was supposed to be about wooing women actually ended up being all about me instead. Which was kind of the crazy epiphany that I had along this journey.
Mm. So in other words, you had to deal with what it is about yourself that was lovable before you could ask people to love you.
Yeah, in a sense, yes. Well, I actually had another epiphany that I want to share. And one of them was that there's kind of two different things. Now, when I coach guys, I can kind of tell what problem they're really looking for. And the two problems that they're always looking for, which I also dealt with, are either loving yourself and just feeling good, as in getting that positive feeling, or the second thing was getting some type of result. So the two things actually, they do kind of work together at a lot of times. But I've noticed that for a lot of people, they're actually looking for a feeling. So in other words, and they think that if they get a specific result, you know, whether to get a girlfriend, to get many dates, to get more sex or anything else like that, that they would feel complete or whole. Mm. And that's kind of a trap in itself, thinking that, oh, if I get these specific results outside of me, then I'll finally be whole and complete. And then there's that other spectrum where you don't have to do anything at all. And you'll still be happy. You'll still be joyful. You'll still be whole. And that's kind of the two problems I often see with men. And I dealt with both of them quite difficultly. So those are the two things that I've noticed, at least on my journey.
I see. So, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted you on the show is because I really think that what you're creating is a context that I call a yes in the realm of dating. Because there are a lot of men, I'll give you an example. It's really interesting because on Facebook today, a very good friend had this incident. And I'm actually delighted that I have you on my show because this thing caused a slew. I mean, this woman had these comments on her Facebook page from this thing that she posted, and I'm going to read it to you, and I want to get your take on it because you are in the realm of charming women, okay?
Sure.
So my friend was sitting in a restaurant, And she couldn't help but overhear the couple next to her that were having this conversation when the waiter came up with the bill. And this is how the conversation went. Him to the server. This will be separate. Her laughs. Seriously? Him. You told me last week that we were just friends, right? Her. Silence. Him. And you suggested we grab some food, right? Her. Silence. Him. Friends pay their own way. Her. Well, I just wanted to take it slow. Him. So while we're taking it slow, can you pay your own way? Now, she posted this, and what happened was she had over 37 people commenting, including me, about the right and wrongness of this interaction.
Sure.
So what is your take on this little situation?
Well, I think it's really funny, first of all. I think it's great. Now, I also have a show where I talk about a lot of these dating rules or whatnot. And the funny thing about any dating rule is that we're always making it all up. We're all making up different rules all the time. So, like in that instance, I'm sure that you would have some kind of opinion, and I'll have my own opinion on certain things, and everyone else will have their own opinions because we're all making up these rules of what should be right and what shouldn't be right.
Yes.
Now, what I find really entertaining about this is that I think that what I notice is that words can often get lost in translation. Even if we're really precise, you know, words can still, you know, mean one thing to one person and mean another thing to another person. So for this instance, this woman wanted to, you know, have, you know, get dinner from this guy or have this guy pay. And the guy really didn't even know that it was going to be, I'm not really sure the context, if it was actually a date, but it sounded like he didn't even know it was a date. It was like, hey, why don't we have dinner together? And since we're friends, what, like friends pay for their own dinner. So to me, it makes sense on that, at least from my point of view. And for the woman, yeah. And for the woman, she said, well, I just wanted to take things slow. Well, he never made it clear for her that she wanted to continue dating. A lot of times when someone says, oh, why don't we just be friends? I think the guy is thinking, okay, well, she's probably not interested in me in that way. Like she later clarified, well, I wanted to take things slower. Well, there was kind of a big miscommunication on that. Now, I don't even really know whether she still wants to date this guy or go on a date or not, or she just wants a free meal and then not really interested in him. So I still need a little more context. But that's just kind of what I think. I mean, there's a lot of miscommunication between them. But I think, to me, the guy didn't do anything wrong.
Got it. So I'm.
And what is your take on it?
Chat room is blowing up, so I'm gonna take each chat question as they come, one at a time. Okay. So the
first
question is Patrick, from Steph. I feel really awkward, and I'm not sure I can be charming to a woman. What's your response?
Okay. I'm not very charming.
Yeah.
And he
can
have
you
a little awkward.
Not very charming. So how does he learn how to be charming from you?
Sure. Well, I've noticed that just like words, even in our identities, we're making that all up too. Right. So for instance, I used to believe this. I used to say that, oh, man, you know, I'm such an awkward guy. Like I'm incredibly awkward. So everything that I did was awkward. But then I also noticed that there were times when I was in social situations when I wasn't awkward. Now, I would challenge Steph to see a moment, first of all, where when he's having some kind of social interaction with someone, you know, with you know, let's say, you know, whether Seth has a sister or a mom or friends that are women or a grandmother, anyone that is a female sex, if he has one moment where he's not awkward, then he's no longer an awkward person. At least he's not awkward all the time. And that's kind of a place to start of seeing that, okay, well, if I'm sometimes not awkward, it must mean that my identity is not awkward. And when I look at it from that point of view, and I start to see all these other instances during my interactions, well, maybe sometimes you might have a charming moment. And that's what I would like to say to Steph.
Okay. All right, Steph. And then we have another question here, but he says he's anonymous. Why do men have to pay for everything just to be charming?
Well, let's see. Let me see how we'll answer this question. Well, you know, I've noticed that I think we're talking about dates. Is that what we're talking about, Pam?
Yeah, the thing that I read on Facebook, he's referring to that conversation you and I were having.
Okay, got it. Okay. Well, first of all, I'm going to take a little step back for a second. And I personally think that in the beginning of there are a lot of activities where it does not require, first of all, to have to pay for something. So I'm going to start off with that. And for instance, you could have a picnic at the park and tell the other person, you know what, let's have a picnic. I would love to have a picnic with you. I'm going to bring the champagne and you can bring the fruit. So in a sense, you're both kind of bringing something to the table. Or you could go ice skating, or you could go walking on the beach. You could go on a walk in the park. You could, you know, go painting together. And there are a bunch of activities where you don't need to pay in the beginning. So that's kind of the first thing that I want to bring up. And then the second thing is I think right now, you know, it's still expected for guys, if they're the ones who are initiating something, they're the ones, if they're bringing up some kind of activity of some sort, they're probably going to be the one that is paying for the experience because they're giving this experience to this person who wants to join on it.
So in other words, traditionally the role falls to the man, and that's pretty much the way it is, but you're not stuck with that role. You can generate past it. You can create a context where there's no cost involved and you're having a wonderful time and you can be just as charming even if you haven't opened your wallet.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think a lot of guys, they do fall into that pressure of putting themselves into that context that they need to pay up front. Right. But, you know, I've been like, even on my first date with this woman, I asked her, or I told her, hey, you know, I'm cooking this really awesome dinner, the only thing that I can actually cook, and I would love for you to try it. And I'm going to be making it at my house, and you can come join me. And now that took me, I mean, I paid for buying the food, but I mean, I didn't buy her dinner. I was cooking for myself and her, I guess, in a sense. So I don't think that people, that men specifically, they have to adhere to the traditional rules. Like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do.
That's great. It kind of reminds me of that movie, Annie Hall, where Woody Allen and Diane Keaton were cooking in her apartment, and they were having an extraordinary time, even though the whole meal, you know, ended up on the floor. It was just it was an incredible time, and they fell in love.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And I think that it's a lot of people put a lot of pressure on if I need to bring a really, really expensive experience on my first date. But I think that when we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, we actually don't perform as well. So, for instance, if I need to spend like $1,000 to make sure that everything is going to go all right, I'm probably putting a lot of pressure on myself to do really well on this date, right? And when you have less pressure, you're probably going to, first of all, allow her to be more in her space, and allow her to not have like, do I owe this guy anything? He paid for $1,000 meal. Does that mean I now owe something to him? Because a lot of women, they get really, really like kind of almost freaked out sometimes when someone is lavishing them with such a big thing early on. Now, but what are your thoughts, Pam? What do you think? Let's say someone bought you a $1,000 meal on your first date.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm an old-fashioned gal, and I mm-hmm. believe that the man should be the one who is, if he's asking me out, that he is covering the bill. However, sure. I personally would not be impressed with a $1,000 meal. I'm one of those people okay. that if you have a $1,000, take me to see Hamilton. I'm not interested in eating $1,000 steak. That's just me, mm-hmm. you know. And there mm-hmm. are people who have that kind of abundance where they a $1,000 meal is like a McDonald's, you know, Big Mac to some other people.
Sure, sure.
And that's fine. If I'm happy to invite any man that wants to spend $1,000 at a restaurant on me to step right mm-hmm. on in. That's fine. I won't reject you. However, that is not how you get to my heart. You know, I actually, I'm in agreement that a man can be creative. And actually, if a man were to invite me to his house, and I've done this, the reverse, I've met a man who was very fun and you know, great to be around. And I've invited him. I say, look, I'm cooking dinner. And, you know, this is one of my specialties. I'd love it if you come try it. And they come and they bring a bottle of wine and we have dinner and we have a good time. We might watch a movie. And the only money that was spent was the money I spent on the groceries, which I most likely was going to buy anyway, because I had to make dinner anyway. And I just included another person. And that to me is a rip roaring good time. And it did not necessarily money spent. And, you know, that's how I feel about it. And I'm in agreement with you that I think that the more creative you can be when you're creating dates, the much more likely you are to continue to date this person, much more so than how much money you're spending on them.
Oh, I think that's a really great point, Pam. Like, I think a lot of people, they stress on the money aspect of it. But like you said, that doesn't win hearts. Money doesn't, I mean, you might impress someone by being able to do something like that. But the experience that you're having with this person, that's what people will remember. That's what women will remember. They'll remember that time that you had with him. So if you can enjoy her and you can bring the light out of her and you can make her feel really, really comfortable at the same time, then she's going to remember that experience, that feeling, way more than just the dinner, the $1,000 dinner or whatever you pay for her.
Yes, exactly. And I want to take this this opportunity to remind the people who are listening that you can call in and speak directly to Patrick. Just dial 323-642-1207. And we'll connect you, and you can actually interact with Patrick live. I've got some more questions in the chat room, and I want to present you with them. This is from Suzanne, Patrick. She says, beaches, picnics, are all the recommendations you give your clients? So romantic.
well, you know, I think that – Suzanne, you got me. You know that you broke down my secrets and I've got nothing left. But no, but honestly, I think that there are so many things that you can do besides, you know, just dinner. That's what I was trying to say. Or just paying for dinner. Because a lot of times when we think that when we think of a date, we think, okay, well, now I'm going to go on a date. So that means that I must pay for dinner. And then at some point of the date, I'm going to kiss them, perhaps. You know, like, and when we break those specific rules of, well, Now, this is just me speaking, but I'm saying that you can creatively come up with any kind of experience, whatever you like, and you think that she might like as well. You're creating an experience of yourself with this person. For me, I just like walks. I'll go on walks, like on the beach or at the park or whatnot. Or I like improv comedy shows. So I'll take her to an improv comedy show because I love those things, and I hope she likes. And I'll ask her if she likes those things. And if she wants to join, then she'll also come join as well. So in a sense, I'm kind of living my life and bringing her into my world.
Very good. So another question from Blake. Blake says, Patrick, I have no imagination. How can I be more creative?
Well, Blake, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people think that they don't have imagination, but if you think about it, I think there has to be some sort of imagination in everyone. I really believe this. If we, like you talk about in your show about opening up a lot, right, Pam?
Yes.
Or
being
like
open
or
to
like
receive.
Opening and receiving, right?
Yes.
Now, the only times that I feel that people are not creative is when they're not opening or receiving, in a sense, to what is coming through to them. So, I mean, we've all taken a shower in the past, and we've all had some kind of great idea, like, you know, taking it in the shower or you know, when we're not so stressed out about thinking about, you know, having a clogged up mind, like we're thinking about all these things all at once, we tend to be pretty damn creative. So the thing that I would recommend is, well, what do you like? Like, what do you enjoy doing, first of all? And if you know what you enjoy doing, then why don't you show her that kind of experience of your world? Like, let's say you like playing basketball or whatnot. I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but let's say you like playing basketball. Like, why don't you ask her if she likes playing basketball? And if she doesn't, maybe you can like show her like a game of how to play basketball, like how to shoot hoops or whatnot. Like that might not be a good example, but there's so many possibilities of what do you like doing, and sharing that side of you to her, and that's what creative is.
I think that the key thing in what you're saying is that it might be useful to interact with her. And find out what she's, you know, got going on. You don't necessarily have to be a creative genius to be able to say, what do you like to do? Hey, I like to do that too.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So there's two things that you can do. First of all, you can propose something that you enjoy doing and asking if she would like to be part of that. Or you can ask her, well, what kinds of things do you enjoy? And when you find out what she enjoys, it's going to almost seem like you're the creative one. You're like, wow, I like doing that. Yeah, because you told me.
Absolutely. And the thing is that I'm really clear that what you offer to men, to all men, whatever stage they're in or whatever they consider themselves to be in relationship to women, the opportunity to open up and get in communication and don't operate from tradition or from assuming you know what they want to do. But if you really are meeting someone and dating them and you want to see more of them, then the whole point is to get to know them and to find out if you like them and if you like doing the things they like to do. It really is charming when the person you're with is really, truly interested in you.
Oh, I think that's a really big point, Pam. Like, that's what – so a lot of guys, they're going to go online and they're going to try to find a bunch of ways to be interesting. But what you said, it's spot on. Like, if you're the one who is extremely interested in that person because you're genuinely interested in her, like – and you ask her about her and make her feel special, Like, she's going to remember you way more than the guy who just brags about himself, who thinks that he's the coolest guy in the world, and you can show off, you know, your cool accolades, your money, your accomplishments. Like, she'll remember you so much more if you're actually interested in her. And I actually remember talking to a bunch of my girlfriends, and they would always complain to me. They would always say, you know what, Patrick, when I'm at a bar, one thing that really, really annoys me is when guys just keep talking. Like, they don't shut up. Like, I want to be cool too. I want to show that I'm interesting. And what are your thoughts on that, Pam?
Well, I can concur with that, and I guess you can tell I don't have any problems talking, and I really do enjoy interacting and talking to people. But the thing that engages me the most is when the person I'm talking to, similar to how you and I are interacting right now, we're on the same level, we're having a conversation where you have an opinion, I voice my opinion, nothing's wrong. You know, we happen to be in alignment, but if we weren't in alignment, it's fine. I'm okay and you're okay. And that's the kind of person that charms me. When, you know, like these days in the atmosphere of politics, there's a lot of tension, anger, and upset going on. And I'm pretty tired of seeing it on Facebook everywhere, just blah, 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 Trump. And sure. If I was on a date with somebody that was going down that tunnel, that would be a 3-snap in Z formation out the door on the curb for me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that one.
So, Patrick, I have another question on the chat room. This is a doozy. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready for some doozies. Bring them on, doozies.
Patrick, I'm a woman who loves women, and I find I have the same challenges my male friends have. Can you help a lesbian woman? And if so, how can I connect with you? This is from Jolie.
Ah, I see. You know what? I don't, to be honest, I don't have too much experience with women who are interested in other women. But I do have this... this woman, this lesbian friend of mine, and we've been going out together a lot, and I've gone to many different more so gay clubs with her to meet other women, so I can see the other challenges, and what I've noticed is that women, when they are out, like one woman will initiate, they have to take more of that dominant role, and the other is kind of like holding back a little bit, but it's interesting, huh? But I guess I would, if I could get some more clarifying questions of what is difficult for her.
Well, what I hear her saying is that she has the same challenges that males have.
Yeah.
And if you could just for a moment inside of your technology of charming women, forget that she's a woman and consider that she has the same challenges that a man would, what would the biggest challenge, that awkwardness or concern that a man would have in approaching a woman, what would your
Sure. Well, let's see. Well, that's what I mean. Because there are so many, you could say, I'm not sure what her biggest problem is. I mean, is she having a lot of anxiety around it? Is she having trouble starting a conversation? Does she, you know, have self-worth issues? So that's because guys have, we could break down any problem that we have, essentially. But as I mentioned early on, the main big ones are always, like, I feel really, really, you know, unworthy of love. Or I feel very unworthy of self-worth of myself. And they're struggling with that feeling of not feeling okay. And then the other one is actually meeting women, approaching women, having creating attraction with women. So do you want to talk about a specific one, Pam?
Well, let's put that question out to Jolie. If you're still in chat, can you be more specific about the kinds of challenges that confront you when you are interacting with a woman? I think that the main thing here with regard to Patrick's technique is actually inside of your own concerns, your specific concerns about your relationship with women. And Jolie has just responded. She said, I'm always attracted to really beautiful women, and I'm afraid that they aren't attracted to me.
Mm. Yeah, okay. All right. So I guess we can go off of that right now. Well, after working with a lot of men, I've noticed that – so let's say, for instance, you're at a grocery store, right?
Right.
And you spot a really lovely woman. Now, when you first look at her, you're like, wow, I want her. She's so lovely. Oh, my gosh. And then later on, when we think too much, like when we get into the psychology of our mind, and in the Buddhist, they have a thing called the big mind, you know, your intuition, you're working with God in a sense. When you first have this feeling of, oh my gosh, I would love to talk to that person. You get this feeling of, oh yeah, this would be a great idea. She's so attractive. She's my type. I would love to talk to her. And the moment that to me is the moment that if you can say yes to, if you can open yourself up to that feeling and work with it to talk to this woman, this beautiful woman you find attractive, like that's what's going to get you to talk to this woman. Now, I've noticed that whenever I think, or anyone else, this is humans, by the way, whenever anyone thinks about something way too much, like they're like, okay, well, once we start thinking about something way too much, we get lost in our psychology. Like we get lost in our minds and we start freaking ourselves out. And then we start thinking, oh, well, maybe she doesn't like me. Oh, well, maybe this person has a girlfriend, or maybe this person only likes guys, or maybe I'm not this person's type. But the truth is, you have actually no idea what is going to happen. That's the beauty part. Like, I don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Like, I don't know who's going to call in, what Pam is going to ask me, who else is going to ask me a question. And if I truly know that I can't predict the future, all I have is right now, then that gives me a lot of confidence in, well, she could say she could be attracted to you or she could not be attracted to you. But in the end, it doesn't even really matter because unless we actually find out, we actually talk to her, we'll actually never know. We'll always only play a guessing game.
Absolutely. You know, that speaks directly into my realm of yes. The answer to any question that's not asked is no.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
can you explain more of that?
So here's the thing. If you don't ask, the answer is no.
Oh,
Okay. The
like
answer
that.
Is always going to be no
that.
If you don't open your mouth. When you open your mouth, there's two options, yes or no. But if who you are is yes, then what you'll get is yes. One of my favorite quotes that I use on my show almost every week is the quote from Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein is considered to be one of the world's most intelligent men. And before he died, he made a statement that I have on my website and I have on my Facebook page. It blows me away because when I saw it, I mean, a lot of people think that this whole law of attraction and the world of yes is all woo-woo. And, you know, that's just Pam and her bubbly sense of being, you know. But this is what Albert Einstein had to say, okay? He said this, everything is energy, and that's all there is to it. Match the frequency of the reality you want, and you cannot help but get that reality. It can be no other way. This is not philosophy. This is physics. So what he's saying is, this is not woo-woo. This is science, okay? If life is energy and you are energy and she is energy, mm-hmm. if you want her, go mm-hmm. get her. All you mm-hmm. have to do is ask. Mm-hmm. If you don't ask, the answer is no.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. Yeah. Now I do also understand the other point of view, right? Now, like in the beginning of the show that I mentioned, a lot of times, you know, I would hear other women give advice to men, such in the form of, so just be confident, or just be yourself, right? And it's I know that it's a lot easier to say that than actually do that sometimes.
But
and,
you know why?
Why?
Because of fear.
Sure, sure.
It's fear. Now, it's the concern and the fear is that they'll say no. That's what's in the way. Mm-hmm. It's like there she sure. is over there, and there you are right here, and what's in between you is fear.
Sure. Now I'm going to go this direction with that. Now, fear, as you may know, Pam, a lot of – now there's some things that are immediate fear, right? Like let's say someone is going to put a gun against me, and that's a real fear.
Exactly.
But most fears, though, most fears are just illusions. Most fears are actually just a thought in the moment. Now, I remember actually hearing this one thing that was completely striking to me. And I remember hearing, you know, on this one show by one of my instructors, Michael Neal, he mentioned that there was one instance where there was a guy who had a bunch of test subjects, and with these test subjects, they were kind of monitoring like their you know, their pulse, or just how they were experiencing fear. And when the main person came into the room for these test subjects, he told these test subjects, you know, we have a bunch of snakes in the room right now, and they're all over the place. And then the test subjects just kind of freaked out, like you could see this spike of fear, you know, in their pulse. And then later, but then the crazy thing was that he mentioned that, but there were actually no snakes even close to that building.
Mm.
So when we think about that, well, we're just creating a lot of make-believe in our minds. Now, we can use make-believe in the good sense of, you know, positivity, or we could also make it in the sense of, oh wow, we're going to scare the hell out of ourselves. But if we see that fear, most fear, it's just thought in the moment, and that it's all, most of it is made up, then you're going to have a lot more confidence in your life.
Yes, I can get that completely.
Yeah. So what else, what are your thoughts, Pam?
So I think that I have a thing I do on fear. I train people about fear because mm-hmm. my whole science of yes, mm-hmm. well, what's in the face of yes is no, and no is about fear. Now, I'm not talking mm-hmm. semantics about the word yes and the word no. I'm talking about
sure.
your feelings and your emotions. And when I say mm-hmm. be a yes, I mean be excited, be powerful, be bold. And all mm-hmm. of those things are available to everybody. We all have the propensity for them. And what gets in the way is our concern of rejection, of how we're going to look, being ashamed, being upset, being shy, introverted, mm-hmm. you know, you name it. There's a litany of things that gets in the way of your being able to say, yes, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to talk to that gorgeous babe and she's going to be mine. You know, that's uh-huh. what's in the way. And what I'm saying, and I think what you're saying too, and part of your philosophy around wooing women, I'm going to get out on a skinny branch here and say that that's essentially the reason I invited you on my show, because you're telling men to be a yes to wooing women. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times there's this whole controversy around men and women, and they're from Mars and women are from Venus, and we don't understand them and they don't understand mm-hmm. us, and they're not sure,
sure
what it takes to get next to us, and all this controversy and confusion. And what you're doing
sure.
is you're breaking it all down to black and white. You want a woman, charm her. And
Yeah,
that's
what
what I hear,
yeah,
you know,
why not?
and it really doesn't, it's not complicated. You know, if you have all this stuff going on, knock yourself out. I'm going to say something really crass, and I'm not doing it to offend anybody. I know there's going to be people offended, but when you're in a crowded room and you need to pass gas, you hold it in. You do not pass gas in public. Well, it's the same thing with fear. Keep it to yourself. You don't have to spray it on anybody. If you want to go talk to that babe, go get it on. And that's the thing. And that's what
yeah.
I have to say on the subject. Now, we have you have other things in the chat room. So I'm going to get to the other questions. You're hot, baby. But I'm just going to take a moment
hot,
to
hot, hot. It's on fire.
You're on fire. I want to take a moment just to remind people that as you're listening to Patrick, as you're questioning him, please take a moment to like the show. Please, you know, support the Science of Yes show. If you love Patrick, at the end, we'll have him tell you how you can get in touch with him, how you can buy his book, how you can go to listen to his podcast. We'll get you all connected and everything. But remember, the more likes I have on this show, the higher up they'll put me in the ranks of the Blog Talk Radio. And we want that because we want to keep us going here. So like the show, follow us on Blog Talk Radio, and don't forget to visit us at newageguild.com. All right, so this is the Science of Yes, and my guest here, Patrick Wu, the Wooist, talking about his philosophy on how to charm women. And we're going to move on to the next question.
Okay, sounds great.
Paul says, I try to be romantic, and I get that it feels like I'm just putting on moves. I'm really being genuine, and I really like the person. What am I doing wrong?
So this person, so Paul here, he does the romantic moves, right? That's what he said?
That's what he said.
But he feels bad about it.
It just lands like he's putting moves. That reminds me of Janet Jackson's song, all the girls at the party, look at that. for you. That's what she said. You don't have to make any moves. Come on over. I'm ready. It's all for you.
Well, thank you for that reference, Pam. I really enjoyed it. I also enjoyed your singing. Now, I don't know why it doesn't feel right to Paul, but I'm going to take maybe a stab at it, and perhaps maybe that's not – I might be missing what his question is asking. But
okay, Paul, if you'd like to elaborate a little bit on that question, why is it that you feel it lands like you're making moves? Does she say something that makes you think that you're fronting, or what is it exactly that happens? Clarify it so Patrick can address your question. Okay, Paul? On to the next question, and we'll come back to Paul when he clarifies. So Neil says, Pam hit it on the nose. I'm afraid to hear no. I want not to be afraid. I'm even too afraid to call into the show and talk to Patrick.
Yeah, you know, I actually get a lot of emails a lot of times where people will tell me, Patrick, I have this specific problem, but I'm not sure if I'm ready to talk to you about it. And but I was like, why not? Just call me. I'm not gonna hurt anyone. I'm not gonna make you feel bad. In fact, I'm gonna make you feel great. To tell you the truth, but yeah, I think he hit it on exactly. That the thing that stops most guys, and I mean most guys. Now this is even goes to women as well. Actually, I think it actually. Talking to a lot of my women friends, they're actually more afraid of the no than guys, actually, which is really interesting as I think about it. But the anticipation of no is what scares people. It's not actually hearing the no that freaks someone out. It's again the thinking about no that freaks someone out. So I want you to see this perspective for one second. Have you have you ever realized that whenever you look in the past and you're feeling really, really anxious or you feel scared or whatnot, the future looks really grim. And when you're feeling really amazing, you feel jolly, you feel great, and you look into the future, all of a sudden it looks grand. Well, again, even that in itself, as I was talking about earlier, like with fear or whatnot, everything, that is all made up. That's also thought. And when you try to solve everything from the psychology side of your little mind, when you try to solve these things of like maybe I'll hear no, maybe this person will say no, and then my coworkers will know about it, and then everyone will kick me out of this place because they know how much I'm sexually harassing someone, or maybe I'm going to offend this person, and then it's going to be really, really awkward. I'm going to be walking around shopping for my Parmesan cheese, and all of a sudden, all these bad things could happen. Well, if you stay in reality, you'll notice that actually none of that is actually happening. Like, if you come back to Earth for a second, you'll realize that, oh, actually nothing is happening. I'm just interacting a lot with my thoughts right now.
Yes. I call that you're in your head, and it's a dangerous neighborhood to go in by yourself.
Yeah. The most dangerous neighborhood, even more dangerous than the Comptons. So don't do that.
Not without bodyguards.
Yeah. And it has to be like really big, big bodyguards. Make sure you have like two or three of them.
All right. So we're going to circle back to Paul, who elaborated. And Paul says, she's telling me I'm playing games like everybody else.
I see. Okay. Let's see. Okay. So
that was the original question, was that he tries to be romantic and he gets to feeling like he's putting on moves, and that though he's being genuine and he really likes this person. And then he elaborates, she tells me I'm playing games.
That's actually really interesting. Well, before I jump into Pam, what are your thoughts on this one?
Well, actually, I can tell you that I have been wooed by men who put moves on me. I had a man to me once at a bar. I was with my friends, and he enrolled his friends at the bar. There were four of them, and they came up to me singing Mac the Knife. And the four of them in a choo-choo train were singing Mac the Knife. He slid up next to me, sat next to me at the bar, bought me a drink, and they were singing Mac the Knife in the background while he put the moves on me, and he had me at hello. I have to be honest.
That's pretty charming.
Yeah, that to me was this elaborate. It was kind of like having some Cyrano de Bergerac outside my bedroom window. Do you know? It was incredible. He got his friends to sing this song. They came up, oh, that dark face. And I'm like, oh, my God, who is this guy? And it was a complete and absolute move. But I was charmed.
So I think
that, in my opinion, what Paul is dealing with is that he is putting moves on her that she's not charmed by. So he's in his world doing his thing, and he's not in her world.
I see.
And so that guy was in my world. That whole production that he put together just to meet me had me at hello. But the moves he's putting on this girl isn't in her world. So you got to be like totally engaged with her to find out what she's interested in. And you can put any move you want on a girl as long as she is engaged.
Yeah. You know what? I actually wanted to even, when I thought about this question, I wanted to actually go into this direction. And I love your answer, by the way. Yeah, that's also an awesome song that, that he was
I'll never
singing.
Forget that happened. I must have been in my 20s, and we won't discuss how old I am now. But that was a long time ago, and I still remember it to this day.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like really, like when we experience something like that, man, you'll remember for the rest of your life. And I'll remember that for the rest of my life now, after you told me that story. And to me, what I'm hearing in Paul's question is that I'm not sure if he's hiding something. That's what I feel like it might be happening. Like he might be. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I'm gonna give it a shot on this, and perhaps we'll see what happens. But I know that there's these two things. There are guys who do things for the intention of getting something out of some the intention of getting something, whatever they want to get, right? So for instance, I'm going to be really nice. I'm going to buy dinner. I'm going to do all these nice things. I'm going to do all these hoping that I'll get something in the end, even though it's really not me.
Yes, absolutely. Even though it's not you, I think that's the key, Patrick. Yeah. It's not you. You're doing you're putting on some act.
Yeah, and I think the thing about this is, if you feel that if you're getting this kind of, so I always talk about this feeling that you get. So that yes feeling to me, what you're describing, Pam, it's kind of like this really light feeling of yeah, this is kind of this feels good. Like you feel like this is you want to be there. It's like a good idea, and then you'll get another feeling. You know that feeling when you like talk to like a dirty salesman, and you're like hunching your back over, or you're like leaning. You're leaning over your chair, or you're like slouching down or whatnot. But to me, like if you're getting that feeling of that slouching, like oh, this feels kind of weird energy kind of thing, and you're doing these things even though it's not really what you really, or maybe you're not explaining, maybe you're not showing what your intention is. It may come off like awkward to her.
Yeah,
I'm not sure if I explained
really
that
does.
Right.
And I hate to cut you short, but we only have 2 minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure that you tell everybody how they can purchase this book, where your website is, how they can contact you, because, my brother, you were a hit tonight.
Oh, man. It must be the bodyguards that I have with me.
So please tell us, how do we reach you before the show is over.
Sure.
Tell them about the book, the website, podcast.
Yeah, well, I think the easiest way for people to get in touch with me is if they went to Wuist.com here's what you can do. You can either go to Wuist.com or just send me an email at patrick@wuist.com. Or you can just find my email there also. So that's the easiest way to get in contact with me.
And wuist.com is wuist.com. Wuist.com.
Yeah.
You can go to his website or you can write him patrick@wuist.com. And Patrick,
yeah,
how much is the book?
Well, I tell you what. If you get in touch with me and you mention in the title Pam Heath, then I will make sure that I give you my book for free, and all you have to do is just pay for shipping and handling.
You guys better hit this, jump on this like it's dropping hot.
Yeah, and you guys, I want you guys to like Pam's show because, hey, you know, she's fantastic.
Boom. All right, so you've just been with Patrick Wu, the Wuist, the extraordinary author of the commonest book that could break through for you with wooing women. And it's called The Art of Wooing, The 9 Ways of a Super Charmer. And there's a heck of a lot more involved than just taking her out and telling her she's good looking. He has all the ways that you can actually attract whatever woman you want. So get that book, and he's just told you, and you can jump on it, that if you email him with Pam Heath, that he will give you this book for free. So get on this. Do not miss. You are a flip fool if you do. Everybody, I've enjoyed tonight's session, and I want to thank the extraordinary Patrick Wu for being on the show. We've got to have him back. These people are just going nuts in the chat room, and next time maybe you even get up the courage to call in and actually talk to him. So this is Pam Heath, the Yes Coach, signing off from this week's episode of The Science of Yes. You go out and be a yes in your life and be a yes to courage.